Let us hear with joy what Christ has to say to us today. From John 14, beginning with verse 23, Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Home. What comes to mind when you think about the word home? For me, at least, the word home brings feelings of belonging and stability and comfort. And today, my empty nester home is where my heart is full. When all of my children are gathered around the table and we share conversation and we laugh and we celebrate their accomplishments, or my husband and I offer unsolicited advice on what is going on in their lives. I believe the adage that there is no place like home is true, and I think it's true universally. This message is infused throughout our pop music and popular movies. For instance, in the Hallmark movies, as we all know, the plot is predictable every time. It's going to be a lonely Christmas because none of the family can gather this year. And then miraculously, through the blinding blizzard and against all odds, all of the children and grandchildren burst through the door on Christmas Eve, and the holiday is saved, and I cry every time, even though I know it's coming, don't you? I do, because the song says there's no place like home for the holidays, and I cry every time E.T. lifts his red LED-lit finger to the sky and wistfully says, "Home, home." Did you ever find yourself as a child clicking your heels together, or maybe last week, in time with Dorothy's red ruby slippers and earnestly declaring, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home." Because home is where you come after a hard day, after the test or the presentation went poorly, or the conversation with the colleague or friend was difficult. And there is always someone there who cares, who loves you, and who has a sympathetic ear. Home is where all of your family members, even the crusty ones, are invited for Thanksgiving dinner, if for no other reason than because they're family. And my son says, home is where Wi-Fi connects automatically. And my daughter says that home is where there is peace, and I'm so thankful that that is her memory of home. Home is where Mom always had fried chicken or pot roast waiting for us around the table to eat on Sundays. It's where you could crawl up in Dad's lap when you skinned your knee. Home is where I wrestled with my older brother in the living room floor. Most of the time, the wrestling was playful. Most of the time. Home is where you were taught how to offer gratitude through folded hands and prayer, or by placing pen to paper for writing that good, solid thank you note. Can I get an amen from you parents? Home provided us our first lessons in accountability and in apology making, often begrudgingly to our brother or sister. Hopefully, home is where you now and where you in the past are and were loved unconditionally and accepted. But sometimes homes, ones lacking in the kind of love that embraces family members for who they are not always nurturing. You may have grown up in a home like that, or at least certainly we all know of someone who did. And the community for which the Gospel of John was originally written finds itself feeling homeless. They are being expelled from their synagogues, the ones that they were born in and raised in, for proclaiming what they believe to be theologically and spiritually and socially true, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, God made flesh living among us, and in believing in him, there is life abundant and eternal available to everyone. And so Jesus' words written in the Gospel of John have a lot to teach this dejected community about the true nature of home and the true nature of community and how they can find comfort in grieving their loss. And Jesus' words, I think, can also today help us as we begin a new chapter in the life of Cox Chapel, this place that we have called our spiritual home. Let us pray. Most gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading today is part of a larger continuous narrative in John's Gospel known as the Farewell Discourse. It spans chapters 13 through 17 of the Gospel of John, and it's Jesus. It's just this private, intimate family conversation between Jesus and those closest to him. Jesus, knowing that he's about to go to the cross, spends his last evening on earth preparing his disciples for what they are going to do without his physical presence, and how he offers them words of wisdom and object lessons that they are most going to need to hear in the next few days and months. The next few days are going to be very unsettling and confusing. There will be a time of deep grief on Good Friday, followed by a time of ecstatic joy on Easter Sunday, but still, they're going to find themselves in disequilibrium as they forge their way into a new future without their leader. How will they navigate this, they wonder? Their work with Jesus has been so fruitful, and with Jesus by their side, they have healed the sick and fed the hungry and learned how to welcome the outsider and the outcast, and they have witnessed the miraculous. The miraculous in the feeding of the 5,000, and the miraculous in the abundance of water turned to wine. They have forged an intimate relationship with their teacher, their leader, their Lord, and their friend, and they have been blessed. And they have blessed countless others in their ministry with him. But soon tomorrow, it will appear to them that all of this has come to an end. And what are they going to do? What's going to happen to them? And so Jesus' words on this night offer a preemptive amount of comfort and instruction for what they will soon face. Even though this isn't quite as dramatic as Good Thursday, in this time of transition in Cox Chapel leadership, we too are all experiencing a bit of unsettling disequilibrium. Change is difficult. Do you agree with me? Change is hard. And while we grieve in different ways, I acknowledge and join you in your mixed emotions and your sadness as joy, as well as this joy that we have as Victoria follows her call to ministry to another church home. You have forged an intimate relationship with your pastor and teacher and your mentor and friend, and together with Victoria by your side, you have shared the Lord's bread at his table, and you have shared your bread in his name with others outside these walls. You've helped heal the sick through your flower deliveries and being Stephen ministers. You've opened your doors to the outsider, visited those in prison, served in disabilities ministry, and welcomed the stranger through these doors. You have been richly, richly blessed. And you have been a rich blessing to countless others in your call to follow Christ. But you're probably wondering, if you're honest, what's going to happen now? How do we forge ahead as a community? Are we even going to like this new pastor? And while I don't have an answer to the third question, but I hope the answer is yes, Jesus has words to ease our sadness and our disequilibrium and to give us hope for the future. As he and his disciples gather for their last meal on this evening, the teaching begins. Jesus gets up from the table. He takes off his robe, wraps a towel around his waist, gets down on his hands and knees like a common servant, and crawls from dirty foot to dirty foot to dirty foot, washing the disciples' road-weary feet. And when he finishes, he stands up and tells this shocked group of followers, "You may not know this, but I have just set you an example. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. You should serve each other out of the same love that I have served you." And washing feet, friends, is only the beginning. Wait until you see what I do for you tomorrow. The sacrifice of my life that I give for you tomorrow. He doesn't tell them that, but he's thinking it. And so, because of this new example, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you should love one another as I have loved you. And when you do this, when you love each other well, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Because if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will love each other well. And then Jesus, in the scriptures that Tim read today, or that I read today, that we all read today, Jesus reiterates his message in today's reading. "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them." Home. This is what home means for Jesus. Home is where Jesus' followers will love one another so well. And when they do, and they follow his words that are to come after this story, when, as you remember these words, when they abide in him as he abides in the Father, when they abide in him as fruit abides on a vine, he and the Father will come and make or build their home with them. In Greek, the verb for abide or dwell or remain or stay is all the same. It's meno, M-E-N-O, not like the fish. Meno. The corresponding noun is mone. It means home, dwelling place, place of remaining or staying. Jesus and the Father will come and build their dwelling place among those who love him. So friends, from what I can see and from what I know, Jesus and the Father, through the power of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, have already made their dwelling place, their home, in you. And even though we may feel a little sad and uncertain about what is going to happen next, Jesus' promise is that we are never left orphaned or alone, that he will always be here among us, those who love him, offering us reminders of what he said and guidance as to what we should do next. And with that promise comes peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid, for you are home. Last week, Victoria confessed that when she first took on the role as pastor to Cox Chapel, she had some anxieties and she would wake up at night and say, "What have I done?" But that God was faithful and replaced those anxieties with blessings and peace. Friends, I can't tell you how excited I am to have been called into this new role. I have always loved this community. I have always loved this sacramental service because I was called in a moment of sacrament. And I have always loved this beautiful Gothic worship space, this feast for the eyes, and how it manages to communicate to all who walk in the door the splendor, the grandeur, and the intimacy of God's grace and presence simultaneously. And yet, in all transparency, I have to admit I have had my own anxieties. But those anxieties have been only about what it would be like to preach on a weekly basis. My lack of peace has been wrapped up in wondering, will I be able to find something interesting, meaningful, inspirational, comforting, and challenging to say each week? Because if we're living into the gospel, all of that should be happening. How can I possibly do that week after week after week? And the answer is, I can't. But if we as a community claim Jesus' promises and abide in him, hopefully the advocate will provide more than enough for us to talk about as a family gathered around his table. Home is where we will continue to share the bread of life every week. Home is where we will wrestle with scripture, and sometimes that will be playful, sometimes it will be more serious. But in it, we will find joy and guidance and, yes, even accountability. And we will be blessed by the wrestling. Home is where around this table we will celebrate the goodness of our God and offer gratitude. We will celebrate one another's joys and we will cry tears of compassion for our hurts. We will find comfort for our scraped psyches and aching souls. Home is where we will continue to open our doors, offering a seat at the table for all of God's children, our family members, all of those who are seeking a place to call home. In this home, I pray that you will always find peace when your hearts are troubled. A wise friend of mine, when I first began serving as executive minister here on staff about 9 years ago, said the best way that I could get to know all of the hundreds of staff that we had would be to pray for them every day. It was good advice, and it was true. And so, friends, please know that between now and September and beyond, I will be praying for you every day, and my hope is that you will pray for me too as we begin this incredible family journey together. Through the course of the summer, I'm going to make every effort to contact each member of this community and find out a little bit more about you and your hopes and dreams for Cox Chapel, so that come September 1, we can cast a prayerful vision for the future, for this beautiful, sacred community. My heart has been full this week as I have read your messages of welcome and encouragement that you've passed on to me through Victoria last Sunday. Thank you for graciously welcoming me into your hearts and into this community. There is no place like it. There is no place like it. There is no place like it. As the psalmist reminded us this morning, God has blessed us in the past. May God continue to bless us in this place we call home. Amen.